We're looking again at the fifth commandment, and this time, as we recited earlier, we're thinking about what is forbidden. But just a reminder, fifth commandment says, honor your father and mother that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. I'd like to start just a little bit here, thinking about the confession itself. Maybe some of you have not studied the history. It's actually very interesting to read about how that went about. But in 1643, about 121 elders, Puritan elders, gathered at Westminster Abbey, and they were there to develop a confession of the Reformed faith, and then the catechisms after that. They were not only wise and gifted men. They were certainly that. But they were very knowledgeable of the Word of God, and they loved the Word of God. But they knew also how to communicate the basic doctrines of the Word of God clearly, and I think with an amazing brevity and clarity. And they took 4 years in this process, and they were very methodical. And they developed the catechisms to help instruct us in the meaning of the confession, and a large piece of the confession and the catechisms relate to the Ten Commandments. And in the questions, that you know, it's a didactic. The didactic is you ask a question, you answer it, and you learn it that way. Basically, you memorize it, and that's what catechisms are. That's what they do. And so, in that, the questions it's that they would ask, what is required, which we saw last week, and then they would ask what is forbidden, and it really helps to clarify, really, what the meaning is. They wanted to instruct us about sins of omission and sins of commission. So last week, question and answer 64, it was what it was required, and we saw that it requires the preserving, this commandment requires the preserving, the honor, and performing the duties belonging to everyone in their several places, meaning, you know, as you're relating with those superiors, inferiors, equals. And so the main point there was honoring our parents is a foundational part of honoring any authority, really, understanding what it means to honor authority. So we are required to preserve the honor of and perform the duties for those to whom it is due. And that is what we are to do. This question 65 is what we are not to do. It says the fifth commandment forbids the neglecting of or doing anything against the honor and duty which belongs to everyone in their several places and relations. So we are not to neglect. Not to neglect or do things against the honor of those whom God has placed over us. And I believe it's easy to appear maybe to be doing that, obeying and doing what is required, when we're actually neglecting, and I'll mention what I mean here, we're actually going against what is required. For example, sometimes we can observe in our children that they keep the letter of the law. They did something. But they may do so unwillingly, and so neglect, really, giving true honor. That they kind of obey, but it's not obedience from the heart. The Lord looks on the heart. In Matthew 15, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for their neglect of their parents. The Pharisees had created a way through their traditions to not give, to not support their needy parents by spiritualizing that, hey, this money is given to God, you know, it's an offering to God, it's korban. And this was clearly dishonoring their father and mother and was a sinful neglect. They were disobeying the fifth commandment, the neglect of their duty. And we can even neglect to show honor if we do just what is required and yet do not also communicate, I think, our honor by our words and our thoughts even. We can and should give honor in our speech by not neglecting to verbally show respect. This means, for example, speaking respectfully to our parents, and it means also speaking respectfully about our parents. Because brothers and sisters, ridicule and sarcasm, those kind of things are ruled out here. And we can also honor them when we imitate them, meaning we want to do what, you know, they love us, they're asking us to do these good things, they're good examples, we should imitate them, and we should learn from them. And we should also be patient with them when we see their weaknesses also. And our words and our thoughts are more likely to be honoring, I believe, if we are praying for those whom we should honor, those who are in authority over you. Proverbs 20, verse 20 says, whoever curses his father and his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. So there are natural consequences for rebellion. That's a serious one there. And we should also not neglect to perform our duties, as the Catechism states, and responsibilities with humility and with diligence, really with our whole heart, with all the ability that God gives us. Half-hearted performance is not pleasing to God. It's not honoring to him. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not to men. Ecclesiastes 9 says, verse 10 says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. And so as we come to partake of communion, as we do that each week, we seek to bring glory and honor to God and to exalt him, and to exalt his name by our words and by our thoughts, as well as our actions. You know, we're coming in obedience. So we physically obey at the table. We eat, we drink, but we should also not neglect to rejoice and to praise the Lord with our words and our thoughts, as we have already been doing. This is one reason we have communion meditations like this before eating and drinking. It should never be an empty ritual to come to this table. Never. It should be a devotion from the heart, guided by the Word of God. That's why we bring the Word of God at this point. And then we continue in the Word of God. Isaiah 29, verse 13 says, and Isaiah was talking about people who had greatly strayed from the Lord. And he said, these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. So it's just a rote thing they were doing. May it be not so here, ever, as we come to the table. We desire each week to honor him with our words, and as we share his word, and seek to partake in this communion with him, we should come with prepared hearts. And we do this all by his grace, of course, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. So may the Lord be honored verbally now as we sing, as we continue singing after this, and may he be glorified in our hearts as we partake of this communion with him. Let's pray. Lord, your name is exalted above all things, and we honor and praise you, the author of our salvation, and the author of this meal of remembrance. Lord, forgive us for sometimes just performing this and many other things as just a duty, when our words and our thoughts and our hearts should be honoring to you. Lord, we do desire to bring you honor in all the ways that we possibly can, and would ask, Lord, that you would fill us with your Spirit now, that we might do so now. We might come with that kind of heart. And we ask this in the name of the Lord of grace, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.